Torah Memtes and Likutei Moran Chelek Aleph. This Torah is based on a pasuk in Tehillim, LaShemesh Som Oyel Bohem, Vehu Kachoson Yoytzei Mechupasoi. This Torah Likutei Moran is in a certain class of its own for a few reasons. First of all, just in terms of when this shiur was given. Rav Nosson Zal first met Rabbeinu Zal in Elul. The following, that Elul was the first time that he attended a shiur, and then he came for Rosh Hashanah, and he immediately started taking the relationship with Rabbeinu Zal very, very seriously. And he stayed for Rosh Hashanah through Yom Kippur. That year, the year of the Rosh Hashanah, Rabbeinu Zal was marrying off one of his daughters in the city of Medvedevka. Rabbeinu Zal was already living in Breslov, and the shidduch was made between his daughter and another person. And for the wedding, they traveled to the city of Medvedevka, which was a trip that took a few days at that time. When Rav Nosson Zal heard about the fact that Rabbeinu Zal was going there for the wedding, he understood that Rabbeinu Zal was going to be there for a substantial period of time, and he decided he wanted desperately to join him. Number one, he wanted to be there for the wedding, not just for the wedding, but he knew that would be a time that Rabbeinu Zal would be very happy, and his happiness would be reflected in his willingness to talk and having what to say, and for a variety of reasons. And this took tremendous mesiras nefesh. It's really interesting to read in Tovas Zichronos, in Tovas Zichronos, and also in Yemei Maranat and Chai Maran, where the story is brought about what it took for Rav Nosson Zal at that time to go to Rabbeinu Zal, the opposition that he had in his house. Number one, his own wife and his father-in-law and his father. Things were very rough at the time. And still, he took it upon himself. He told them that his reason for leaving the house was because he had a wealthy aunt in Berdichev that had always been begging him to do some business with her. She had a few stores, and she wanted him just to get involved a little bit as an excuse to throw some money at him. And he always showed complete disinterest. He wasn't interested in her money. He wasn't interested in money, period. But he used it as an excuse. And it's interesting to note, a person would say, Rav Nosson Zal would lie, chas v'shalom, or sort of, this was actually a lie, because I believe he ended up not going to Berdichev at all, but rather the moment he left home, he headed for the city of Medvedevka. And he ended up going there and staying there from Purim till after Pesach. Talking about a period of about 7 weeks until he traveled back home, 7 weeks away from home, where he spent there wasn't a day that he didn't spend time with Rabbeinu Zal, talking to him, etc. And this was one of the shiurim that were given. The wedding took place on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Rabbeinu Zal's daughter got married on a Thursday, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Thursday night. And on Shabbos, at Shalashuris, Rabbeinu Zal gave this shiur. And in the shiur, he speaks about the topic of a wedding, he speaks about Nisan, he speaks about Moshiach, the fact that the Gemara says that Nisan is the time that's designated for when Moshiach is supposed to come. And he talks about a number of interesting things. One of the unusual items about this chapter in Likutei Moran is the fact that Rabbeinu Zal takes the opening topic in Kabbalah of the Arizal, when the Arizal first discusses the purpose of creation and exactly how creation took place. There's a famous discussion of what the Arizal says about this. Rabbeinu Zal takes that discussion about creation of the world and shows how it takes place inside of every single Jew. How the same exact program that Hashem followed in creating the world, as to why he created the world and how he created the world, how that has to take place inside of every single person. And this is one of the major displays of what Chassidus is about in general, what the Baal Shem Tov tried to do, and especially Rabbeinu Zal. The fact that one of the main objectives of the Baal Shem Tov and all of his Talmidim was to take the Sifrei Kabbalah, to take the teachings of the Arizal, which seemed to be irrelevant to 99% of Am Yisrael. It seemed to be a very deep level of wisdom that applied to 1% or maybe 1 in 100,000 Jews. And the leaders of the Hasidim took that wisdom and brought it down, and showed its application to every single Jew from top to bottom. And in this chapter on Likutei Moran, you're going to see a fantastic display of this. We're not going to finish it tonight. It's going to take a few shiurim, and it's going to be building. Rabbi Yisrael is going to be putting together the pieces of a puzzle to paint this entire picture. Rabbi Yisrael begins, Ki koidem habriya, before Hashem created the world, Hoya oyer HaKadosh Baruch Hu ein soif. The light of Hashem was infinite. That's all that existed. And to use the terminology, there was wall-to-wall light, nothing else. In fact, the Arizal says that the word oyer is bigimatria ein soif. That light, when we talk about the light of Hashem, in its origin, it's this infinite item. Verotzo HaKadosh Baruch Hu sheyizgale malchusoi. Hashem wanted to reveal his kingdom. One of the attributes of Hashem is Malchus. Ve'ein melech b'loy am. Kingdom is an attribute that has no application unless there's a nation, unless there's people to accept the kingdom over them. And here Rav Nachman Shigarinzal makes a very important little point that's a definition that's very good to remember in terms of Malchus. When we talk about the Malchus of Hashem, who's called, when does Hashem's kingdom really apply? He says, Ki Iker, I'm reading, it's three lines in Parparois L'Chochma. Ki Iker Hizgalus HaMalchus Hu Al Oysam Shemekaimim Tzivuyov Va'oysam Ritzoinoi Afal pi shehu keneged ritzoinom, afal pi kein muchrochim levatel ritzoinom mepnei ritzoin hamelech. When we talk about Hashem's kingdom really being fulfilled, Hashem's mid of malchus really being displayed and accepted, its most important application is when those who have the privilege of refusing to do what Hashem wants, and even when it goes against what they want to do themselves, what their own personal inclination would be to do, and they go ahead and are mevatel, their rotzon, for the rotzon of Hashem, that's the main glory of Hashem's malchus. Now, that's the ikar kovoy to Hashem. When we talk about showing respect for a parent, let's say, lavdil, respect for a parent is not when a parent asks you to do something that you want to do, and then you do it, because then you're not doing it out of respect for them, you're doing it out of respect for yourself, because you like this thing. Whereas if a parent tells you to do something that you don't want to do, and despite the fact that you understand that you don't want to do this, you don't like to do this, and you do it anyway, you nullify, you subjugate your rotzoin under the parent's rotzoin, that's called kovoy, that's called malchus. That's called that they are, you're accepting them as king over yourself. When we talk about the authority of a king, that's the ikra display of authority. And there's many places in Yiddishkeit where you see this. Among them, Kaddish. In the tefillah of Kaddish, we say in the beginning, Bi'olma divero chir'use v'yamlech malchuse. The world which Hashem created, chir'use, according to his ratzon, v'yamlech malchuse. That these two things are tied together. King means, when we talk about accepting a king, it means carrying out his wishes. Especially, most important so, when his wishes conflict with your own wish. In the tefillah of Adoy Noilam, when we say Adoy Noilam in the morning, we say, Le'es Naso Becheftzoy Koil Azai Melech Shmoy Nikro. And that's a tremendous point. It's saying, when is Hashem called king? When everything is done in conformity with his desire. Not when you're willing to do something because it doesn't bother you. I'm willing to put on tefillin because it ain't no big hassle. It doesn't cost me that much and it's not that difficult and it doesn't hurt my hand or this or that. That's giving a certain degree of respect to Hashem. But when is the respect 100%? When do you really show that you accept Hashem as your king? When you would even be willing to do what Hashem wants, even if it's the exact opposite of what you would want on your own. That's when Azai Melech Shmoinikro. That's when Hashem is really considered to be king over you. Rabbein Azal says now, V'hutzruch livroi b'nei otom shikablu oil malchusoi. So because of the fact that Hashem is king, Hashem had to create men in order that they should accept upon themselves Hashem's authority. Again, the fact that Hashem created birds and animals doesn't really make him king yet, to the full extent of king. Full extent of king is if Hashem could create man and give man bechira, 100% free choice in a certain respect, to do what Hashem wants or not to do it. And then this man will come to a level where he'll do what Hashem wants completely. Those few that'll rise to that madrega, those are the ones who are really being mamlech Hashem. V'hizgalos malchusoi yevsha lahasig ela al yedei hamidois. The revelation of Hashem's kingdom can only be fully understood and appreciated through the midois. Midois means chesed, gevura, netzach. Shal yidei hamidois masigen elakusoi v'yoidim sheyesh odoin moishel umanhig. It's through the midois of Hashem that we could have any kind of understanding in Hashem's heavenliness. Because when people talk about spirituality, spirituality is something that you can't really define. When can you give a definition to spirituality? If we define gemilas chesed as spirituality, if we define being nice to another person, being gentle, being generous, talking nicely to someone, if we talk about that as spirituality, then it's something that we can connect to. And it's a way that we can have access to Hashem, to Elokus. V'tzimtzim, so in the beginning, it was the infinite light of Hashem, and because of Hashem's malchus, he created a world and man. V'tzimtzim es ha'oir ein soif litzdodin. Hashem constricted his light to the sides, his infinite light to the sides. V'nishar cholol haponui. In order to create a vacuum, in order to make place in which the Bria could take place. And inside this supposed vacuum, which Hashem vacated to a certain extent, in that vacuum, Kaviyochel Hashem made the creation. As is explained in the beginning, page 1, sort of the Kisvei Arizal. This is how it starts explaining the topic of creation. The hein midoisov, and this the worlds which Hashem created, they are the revelation of the midois of Hashem. In these worlds, we get to see the chesed of Hashem, the malchus of Hashem, the gvura of Hashem, all of these things. Now Rabbein Azal says, the halev hu hatzayor shel hamidois. The heart is the artist or the craftsman of character, of the midois. Hainu hachochmo shebelev, the wisdom that's in the heart, that's what shapes the character of a person. Kemo shekosuv ubelev kol chacham lev nosan chochmo bina, that in the heart of each one that had chochmo in his heart, Hashem gave such and such. So we see the concept of a chochmo shebelev, which is in a sense different from the Chochma Shebamoyach, as we'll see soon. V'ikra hayitzira hoysa b'chochma. When Hashem created, one of the main ingredients of creation was Chochma. K'may shekosuv kulam b'chochma asisa. Hashem made everything with Chochma. Nimtza shehalev hu hatzayor. So therefore, if we say that the creation, that what the main ingredient of creation was chachma, and the chachma is chachma shebelev, then it's the lev that's the creator in a sense. K'may shekosov, as the pasuk says, tzur levavi. My heart is a tzayar, is the artist, the craftsman in a sense. V'is yitzira latav ulebish. When Hashem in the creation, Hashem made good and Hashem made bad. As the Gemara says on the word Vayitzer, when it says in creation, Hashem created, the word Vayitzer is written with two yuds. And the Gemara darshins Bishnei Yudin, that meaning two yuds, implying two creations. Hashem created good and bad. Vehem Shnei Yitzrin, Yitzer Toiv, Yitzer Hara. Now the question is, how does Be'ed fit into Hashem's Malchus? If Hashem, somebody wants to be king, doesn't it make sense that he should have everything his way? He should create everything his way. Wrong. We said again that the true king, the true revelation of Malchus, is when there's his way and there's the opposite of his way. And then people will choose his way. That's when it's real Malchus. So the fact that Hashem created Be'ed was in order that there should be Bechira, so that Hashem should really be a Melech, not fake Melech. If a person points a gun to somebody's head and says, eat this apple pie or I'll blow your brains out, then the person's not eating the apple pie because you want him, because they want to do what you want them to do. They're eating the apple pie because they want to hold on to their brains, period. Here Hashem wanted to show his Malchus in the fullest sense, which implies people really coming to Asag of wanting to do what Hashem wants.
So the Malachim was not the ultimate real for Hashem. They weren't really of the Hashem as they are the Malach, because they have no Yetzirah.
Of course. Most definitely. Most definitely.
Can you maybe clarify something for me? I thought that the reason that why Hashem created people was because he wanted is to do good, and he can't do good by himself, right? So he needed to create something out of himself in order to bestow good. And I understand the fact that, you know, the Sefirah Malchut and the Midah Malchut, which implies kingship, you know, needs, you know, you need somebody to rule over, like he says here, you know, and how do you say, and Melech Belo Am. I don't understand how Hashem, you know, did Hashem create that because he needed that, so I don't understand.
The answer is that this is a very deep topic, and it's not the kind of thing that can be answered in one paragraph. What you said is a quotation. In other words, what you said, that Hashem created the world, lehetu, because Hashem wanted to show his goodness, that's also brought in Sfarim, including the Likutei Moran, the Likutei Halachos, especially Sefer Kabbalah. Both are obviously true, and both aren't a contradiction. Both aren't contradicting each other. To understand fully how they both work together, we'll learn a lot more, and everything we'll learn will clarify it a little bit, period. I've seen these things discussed in Likutei Moran, Likutei Halachos. It's not the kind of thing, number one, that you're going to find the answer in one place, as far as I know. There's pieces to a puzzle that'll make it clearer and clearer. Now Rabbi Nizal says that when we talk about good and bad in the heart, Hainu machshavois toivois heim yetzer toiv, umachshavois rois heim yetzer hara. Any time that a person thinks good thoughts, that's called Yetzer Toiv, that the Yetzer Toiv is active inside of him. Any time that a person's thinking bad thoughts, thoughts of doing, going against Hashem in any way, that means the Yetzer Hara is active in his heart. Ki ikar hayitzrin heim hamachshavois v'hachochmoy shebelev. We mentioned this many times when Rabbi Nizal uses the word ikar. The Yetzer Hara has 20 different ways that he shows himself, but the Iker Yetzer Hara is Machshavoi Shebelev. Number one, the origin, the foundation, and the most important reflection of the Yetzer Hara inside of a person is what the person's thinking. If they're thinking positive or negative, if they're thinking the way Hashem, in other words, along the lines of what Hashem wants, or the opposite. As the Pasuk says in Chumash, ki yetzer machshavois liboy, etc. That the yetzer is called machshavois liboy. So again, this word that people use, my yetzer hara, my yetzer tov, what does it mean? The way it shows itself on the simplest level is the thoughts inside of a person. And note, we're not talking about thoughts in the brain here, we're talking about thoughts in the heart. Because the brain, according to Kabbalah and according to Rabbi Nizal's forum, is the intellect of the person detached from the emotions and from feelings. Whereas when we talk about Chochmah Shebelev, we're talking about the concept of good and bad specifically, and the extent that a person understands or feels in the direction of good or in the direction of bad, based on Hashem's definition of good and bad. Ukisha'otam choyshev b'machshavos rois. When a person thinks bad thoughts, who metamtem es hacholol shel abriya, the person stuffs up the vacuum of creation, that opening where creation is supposed to take place. Sheshom hisgalos hamidos. That's where the midos of Hashem are supposed to be revealed. Ki halev hu tzur ho'ilomim. Because we said that the heart is called the creator. The lev is called Nazir Kodesh, the melech of all organs in the body. Hainu tzur hamidos. The lev is the creator of the character inside the person. The character is the midos inside of a person, which is synonymous with the oilomos that Hashem created. Ki lefi oir lehevius halev. Now Rabbi Nezal explains. Ki lefi oir lehevius halev shel Yisraeli. According to the kind of fire that a Jew has in his heart, it would be impossible for any midos to be shown, for chesed to be shown or gvura to be shown. Because a Jew has inside of them a potential for infinite fire, for an uncontained, uncontrolled fire. That's just like Hashem is Ein Soif, Kavyochel, we're going to see in a minute. Every Jew is called Chelek Eloka Mimal, which means every Jew has this infinite inside of him. Infinite means no boundaries. So if that infinite is allowed to be free in its original state, then there can't be any midos. There can't be chesed, there can't be gvura. There's just infinite fire. There's just hislavus that doesn't show itself in the form of kindness or harshness. There's no right or left. It's just infinity. Hainu, ein soif ve'ein tachlus l'tshukosoi. A Jew has the potential inside of him for having a fire that has no beginning and no end. V'tzorech l'tzamtzeim ha'hislahavus, k'dei she'yishor ha'balev cholol. And a Jew is supposed to control and confine that hislahavus in order that there should be this room in the person's heart in which a creation can take place, in which midos can be shown. As David HaMelech said about himself, that my heart had a vacuum inside of it. Even though when he said it, he meant that he had slaughtered the Yetzer Hara, that he had a corpse inside of him. We're going to see later that that's what this is referring to. When part of this tzimtzum, part of this being able to control things properly, is wiping out that Yetzer Hara. Validei ha-tzimtzum shel ha-hislavus, when a person gets to a level where they can control and contain this islavus, then it's possible for the midos to show themselves. Hainu lavoides Hashem Yisborach b'hadrogo u'bemida, which means serving Hashem within levels, going from level, climbing and advancing from level to level properly, instead of just Mishka Babel. And here, one of the examples he's talking about is a Baal Tshuva. Because specifically, when a person, when we talk about a Baal Tshuva, usually, we're talking about a person who at a certain point didn't know about Hashem, didn't believe in Hashem, didn't know about Hashem, didn't know about the mitzvahs, and suddenly, or after a certain period of time, they suddenly become aware that they were doing it all wrong. And that the right way is the opposite to some extent of the way that they were living before, what they were doing before. The moment that person realizes that, that person wants to go zip, that person wants to go everything. Person wants to do all 613 mitzvahs in 1 minute. And the person wants to know the whole Torah in 1 minute. And the person wants to become a tzaddik in 1 minute. Why? Because this nekuda inside of them, this chelek olakam imal, has been turned on. Somebody flicked the switch and infinity went on. And when infinity goes on, you don't know where to start, where to just want everything. And Rabbi Nezal says that this is the avoida. Just like when Hashem created the world, that's how it was in the beginning. So too when a Jew first starts out, that's how it is in the beginning. And the avoida is to start building walls. When a kablan builds a house, walls and rooms and everything, areas, designating areas, that's what the person has to first start doing inside of himself. Making boxes and confining this Ein Soif and making room for a Bria to start from step one and do one mitzvah and then go to another mitzvah, etc.
The good thoughts that a person has in their heart, that's the Yetzer Tov inside of them. Shal yodoy nizgalin pe'ulois umidois toivois.
Through the Yetzer Tov, through the good thoughts, they lead to good deeds and good character.
V'hainu yitzira letav. That's this creation of good that Hashem did.
U'kishechoyshev machshavois rois. And when a person thinks bad thoughts, thoughts that are against Hashem,
the person stuffs up his heart.
Bebechinas orla slave, as the Torah speaks about a concept of a heart that's pogum.
Umekalkel habriya, and he messes up creation.
Hainu hachochma shebelev, he messes up this chochma shebelev.
Ki hayetzahara hu tipshu salev,
because one of the definitions that's given for yetzahara in the Torah is the foolishness inside the person's heart.
The pasuk says you should cut away the orla of your heart.
The targum on that is the foolishness of your heart.
This foolishness represents messing up creation.
Because creation, we said, took place through chachma.
So if a person has tipshus, he's the opposite of creation. It's destruction.
And this is a very interesting point, because there are people walking around who are good people. They don't kill anybody. When they walk in the street, they don't bump into people. They don't spit in front of somebody else. They don't insult anybody. And they think that they're really nice. I'm really a nice, good person.
The fact that they walk around thinking all kinds of strange thoughts, either about themselves or about other people or about mankind or about universe,
I'm not hurting anybody with that. I'm not doing any damage. What goes on inside my mind, or that's, again, inside my heart, the fact that I'm thinking of committing sins or thinking of doing destructive items or whatever it is, person thinks that that doesn't do any harm, and a person doesn't realize that just as when Hashem created the world, it began with machshava, bereishis bara lekim, the Zohar Kodesh is reishis is chachma, reishis chachma yiras Hashem. In order for creation of the world to take place, there were three levels. There was thought, speech, and action. So to any time a Jew thinks, he's beginning a creation. It's phase one of creating. If he's thinking good thoughts, he's doing 33%. He's drawing blueprints and digging a foundation and everything of a good creation. Every single time a Jew thinks a bad thought, he's gone 33% of the way of chas v'shalom doing a maisera chas v'shalom, and actually affecting himself in a big way, and could be affecting his family, could be affecting the whole world just by the thinking alone. No, it's not the same. It's not the same. Because we're going to see in a minute, a goy isn't the same concept. A goy doesn't have this chelik, the same level of chelik alakam imal inside of him that a Jew does. Finish the paragraph.
So because a Jew has a higher level of it, what he does has much more bearing and effect on what goes on in the world than what a goy does.
Nimtza. The example that's given at this in the Zohar Kodesh is a person stubs his toe. He can still, a person hurts their toe a little bit or something like that. They can still walk and talk, and they can do 99.9% of everything. If a person's heart gets stubbed, 99% of what they can do is stopped. The Jews are the heart of the world. That's the analogy. Now, even though the goyim are also part of the organism, but in terms of importance, that's the difference.
Nimtza, kishe'otam choyshev machshava istoivo isbalibo eich lavidas Hashem isborach.
Therefore, when a Jew thinks thoughts in his heart of wanting to serve Hashem, wanting to do good,
boze nase liboy bebechinas tzura levavi,
his heart is actually creating. ubibchinas v'libi cholo bikirbi. He's functioning, he's preparing this vacuum in the heart in which Bria could take place. Shebetoich ha-cholol yizgalu pu'loisav. Within this cholol, there will be acts of creation taking place. He's preparing the ground for building to take place. V'alidei pu'loisav umidoisav ha-toivim yizgale shu mekabel oil malchu shalayim shlema. And when the person will actually carry out these good deeds, then it'll be really shown that he has accepted upon himself the Malchus of Hashem, Bishleimus. When he's thinking good thoughts, he started this process. V'ze pirish, v'shorim, kacholelim, kol mayone boch. There's a pasuk in Tehillim which Rabbein Ezal says, they sing songs, kacholelim, like musical instruments playing, kol mayone boch. Because of the fact that all my thoughts are upon you, Hashem, because of the fact that I'm thinking only of you, Hashem, because of that, v'shorim kacholelim, we sing like musicians. That's what David HaMelech says in Tehillim. Rabbein Ezal says, v'shorim zebechinas hizgalus hamalchus. The word shir means singing, and the word v'shorim also refers to malchus, bechinas sora al kol ha'olam kuloi. The Gemara says she was called sora because she ruled over the whole world. Bechinas v'hoyo Hashem lemelech al kol oretz. This refers to the malchus of Hashem. Kacholelim kol mayoni boch. Hainu lefi hacholol shenase al yidei machshevois avakdoshim. To the extent that a person succeeds in creating this vacuum inside his heart by thinking good thoughts, Cain his galus malchusoi. That's the extent that that person makes himself capable of revealing the malchus of Hashem.
First of all, the question that Yitzhak brought up before is more like the question I first wanted to ask in the first paragraph, but unless you really address that, the rest of it doesn't make much sense. It comes out that we are just Hashem's playing a game, and he wants to see who's gonna jump through the hoop, but who's not, and he's just playing with himself, then it really doesn't have much of a work to it. But the second part also is something I can't understand, and that is it has to do with the thoughts. Now you say that man, we have to watch our thoughts, and who's the originator of the thought? Hashem is thinking it before we are. We're just receiving it. So why should we have to be held responsible for entertaining a reception?
The answer is, we just said, to answer the second question first, we just said that Hashem created good and bad. True, the bad came from Hashem. The reason why he made the bad is so that when the person chooses good, you can give him credit for it. If there's only good available and the person chooses good, he's nothing special. Our Rebbe Zichron Avraham used to say that when an idiot says, I'm an idiot, he's not being modest, he's being honest. That's not modesty, that's just telling the truth. When a person's very bright and he says, I'm a dummy, I don't know anything, that's called modesty. Kaviyochel, Hashem, if Hashem wouldn't have created bad thoughts, if he wouldn't have made it possible for us to choose to think a good thought or a bad thought, and we'd be thinking good, there'd be no reward justification, he wouldn't be justified to say thank you, or to say yes, I am your king. Not your king. If there's only one choice, there's no malchus. Malchus is when there's two options available, and Hashem says, I prefer the right one. Now, if you choose the left, you're going against this kingdom. If you choose the right, even though the left was equally available to you and made equally tempting and made look equally as good, that's his galus hamalchus. So for a person to say that, in other words, that this is part of what philosophers say, well, Hashem, if Hashem wouldn't have wanted us to do this, he wouldn't have created it. Who? Baloney. You called up Hashem and you asked him? Moshe Rabbeinu says that's not true. Moshe Rabbeinu says that the reason why he had to make bad and good, because without that the good wouldn't have any meaning. There wouldn't be any meaningfulness in the people that are choosing to do good. So just because the thought is sent to you. Now, a king, the Zohar Kodesh gives a mashal of a king who wanted to test his son's loyalty, took an illicit woman and had her tempt him to see, is he a man or is he a mouse?
Can I entrust him with my treasury? Can I trust him with $5 billion and he'll know what to do with it? Or he'll do what 90% other people do with it. They OD with it. They kill themselves, or they kill their families, or, you know, they marry their dogs, all kinds of stupid silliness, because the person wasn't really qualified to deal with wealth or to deal with authority. The only way you can show that the person is qualified is when the person has two options, and the person goes through the training and everything of being of rising to a level where, when put through an obstacle course, he'll make it. How come, in other words, the army, the people that lead the army are such idiots? The fact that when they want to create a Superman, when they want to create one of these elite troops, the fact that they make them go through obstacle courses and this and that, and that's part of making the person better. Makes this person's worth 10 people. This person a fight is as good as 10, or he's good as 1,000. We know that there are certain people who have qualifications, have wisdom, because they went through testing and training, and they were shown in each case what to choose. They knew when to open this door and open that door. That made them qualify to be better than 99 other people, you know, going through the same motions. That's the point on the second question. That's my response to the second question. As far as the first question, if a person says that I can't learn any further until these two things are clarified, the fact that Hashem wants to show His goodness, knows this. Here again, the example of the army. There are some people, a person who doesn't know the true motive behind the army. In a pure sense, the army isn't supposed to be satisfying its, it's not supposed to be serving its leaders. The army is supposed to make people better. A person going through the same way what school is supposed to do, what any kind of education is supposed to do, supposed to make the person better. By being given options, by being given choices, and by being tested and going through that training, besides the fact that it comes out that it's accepting a certain authority. The person that does that shows he wasn't court-martialed because he didn't show disrespect to the authority that was over him. Besides that, the person comes out a better person than the person who's just raised in a barn with no rules, no instructions. Do whatever you want. Between the two people, the definitions of the norms of the Torah and the norms of the world are that one who goes through that type of bechira, that type of decision-making process of choosing between good and bad, right and wrong, he himself gets improved incredibly in the process. So it's not just satisfying Hashem's need for Malchus. In the process, that we're creating supermen. We're creating, the one out of 100 or the one out of 1,000 is much better himself, for himself, or for herself, than the other 999.
I mean, that's the question at all. I mean, the first sentence here doesn't make, to me, I can't make any sense of it. You go on, you deal with 50 other items and concepts, but the first sentence is not there.
That's the best I can do for right now.
That's not the answer. If you're not going to answer it, then what's the point of going on to the 100 other issues? I don't. If you want to deal with it, it says Ein Sof. That's all there was. And right after the Ein Sof, it says now Hashem wants to show His malchus. To whom is He showing His malchus? If it's all there is Hashem, then doesn't want to show anything to Him. He's playing a game with Himself, and He creates a bria, and He's putting up a mirror, and now it's all these thoughts in our minds now that we have to worry about. We're creating this, and God's projecting everything. So I don't. Unless you explain
it's
that,
it's not
to
true
now,
because after the first 2 seconds, after a person has an initial thought, after, even if that's projected by Hashem, right, the person has their own bechir that takes over after that point. You see a woman on the street for 1 second by accident, you're not punished for it. Just for the fact that that's taken into account, that it's a hashgacha. But if a person on their own free will, at that point, decides they're going to look again, or think a thought against Hashem at that point, that's their, they'll burn
that,
for that.
Who put the thought that they should look again? Whose thought is that?
That's the person's thought.
How do you know?
It's not like you can't walk out into the street and say it's hashgacha and get run over by a fuel truck and say it's hashgacha. Too bad. That's not that you don't have an option.
You
go off the deep end. It's your choice.
I don't know.
That's a free choice that he gave you.
I wasn't aware that I could create anything.
Who's creating? You're destroying yourself. You're walking out into the street and getting run over.
Whose idea was it?
Yours.
I don't know about that. How do you know it's my idea?
Just me.
Next question. Now Rabbi Nizal says, "V'zeh b'chinas ula'ovdoi b'chol levavchem." One second. Haynu l'fi achol shenasa yidei machshavos v'kedoshim kenis gam. Right. V'zeh b'chinas ula'ovdoi b'chol levavchem. This is what Torah means when it talks about serving Hashem with your whole heart. And the Gemara says, "Eizeu avoyde shebelev zeh tefila." What's called serving Hashem with your heart? That's tefillah. Ki tefillah bechinas malchus David. Tefillah is also a concept of malchus, a concept of David HaMelech. K'moy shekosu va'ani tefillah. David HaMelech said, I am tefillah. So we see that tefillah is malchus. Ve'ikra ha'tefillah tolui bolev. And the most important part of tefillah is the heart. Sheyosim kol liboy oleho, that the person should focus his whole heart, his whole attention should be on the tefillah. Shelo yiye bebechinas besfosov chibduni veliboy rochak mimeni, that the person shouldn't be of the type that with his lips he's giving honor to Hashem, but his heart is far from Hashem. That's not really malchus. That's not really accepting Hashem as melech. Because that's easy-ish. People don't know that. For some people, it's hard to do even that. So some people say, well, if Hashem wants more than that, let him jump in a lake. If Hashem wants more than that, I can't do more than that. The fact that I'm able to stay in shul for 40 minutes and ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba and move my lips for 40 minutes straight, I think I should be given a lot of credit for that too. The answer is, there is a certain credit for that. But Rabbi Nizal says here that the Ikar HaTfila, that at least 51% of the effectiveness of tefillah is not based on the lips alone, but rather it's to what extent your attention is on the tefillah, to what extent you're not thinking about anything else whatsoever at the time. And any time that another thought comes into your mind, you're battling it, you're knocking it out, and moving further in the tefillah. Each time trying to lock your brain on your mouth and not let them get separated for too long a period of time. Ki tefillah shebelev, hi bechinas hizgalus malchusoi, besoich hachol alaponui, besoich hamidois, besoich oilomois. Because this battle that a person undergoes of in order to be zochet to tefillah shebelev, where the tefillah is coming from the heart, the whole mind and attention is on the words of tefillah that the person is saying, that's this revelation of the Malchus of Hashem. That's this vacuum, that's this whole Bria that we spoke about before that takes place with Chochma, with Machshava, to create a Cholol in which Bria can take place. This is one of the examples of it. Because naturally, if we're talking about levels, if you want to create, you have to start with Malchus. The starting with Malchus represents preparing the ground. Once you do what you have to establish Malchus, on that you can build Netzach, Hoid, Chesed, Gvor, everything. Here Rabbeinu is all saying that the Malchus is the tefillah. When is it real tefillah? When the Machshava is on it. When the Machshava is one, is, to the extent that the Machshava is locked into the tefillah, that's the extent that that person's tefillah is real Kabbalas Oil Malchus Shemayim. That it's really fulfilling the Malchus of Hashem, and that it's really starting this creation process. Both. 100% both. Talking about all examples of tefillah. Whether a person is davening shachris and all kinds and has that choice every minute, every second to be thinking about the words that they're saying or to be thinking about anything else and going through that battle of trying to have kavona at the time. I want to first... Unfortunately, we get stuck too much on questions and go off on tangents. Let's try to cover a little ground first. We'll take questions. If anybody has questions, we'll take it afterwards. V'zeh b'chinas hey. Rabbi Nizal says, this is the concept of the letter hey in the Hebrew alphabet. The Zohar HaKadosh says, ki dalet hoysa v'schazris v'nasis hey. The letter hey is actually originates as a dalet, and then it becomes a hey through a special process. Ki dalet havis
Loshen Dalo Va'aniyo. Phase one is a phase of poverty. Dal means poor. Hainu kishemetamteim liboy betipshus. When a person allows his heart to get stuffed up with foolishness, ve'ein oni ela bedas. And the Gemara says that the Torah's definition of poor is poor in sechel. That's called real poor. Ve'oz hi bechinas dalit. And when a person's heart is stuffed up, it's lacking in sechel, then that person's heart is bechinas dalit. This letter dalit, which represents poverty. And when a person purifies his thoughts, and we know that the rule is that pure kedusha, holiness, must be a minimum of 10 people. You can't say kaddish, or you can't say kadosh, 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 the kedusha, unless you have 10 people. So kedusha is symbolized by 10, the letter yud. That's the yud, which when added to the letter dalid, forms the letter hey. The letter hey is the symbol of Hashem's malchus. In yud kei vav kei, the last hey represents malchus. Rabbi Nizal says you should know that each and every single time that a Jew goes through these steps, where the Satan tries throwing bad thoughts at him, or foolish thoughts, any thoughts of sin or going against Hashem, that's this tipshu salev, this orla salev. For that second, the person's a dalit. When the person fights the foolishness and tries to draw upon himself kedusha, he's grabbing hold of a yud. And when he adds that yud to his original dalit, he becomes a hey, which means he establishes the malchus of Hashem, literally. By a person going through this battle and succeeding, he's being Mamlech Hashem. We'll hold it over here for now.
Man is need to be created because the Malachim don't have the Yetzer Hara. Here we do see in some areas that there is a kind of jealousy amongst themselves and also against him.
This question I've heard before. Some of the Mefarshim in the Gemara talk in those places where the Gemara says, for example, when it says that the Malachim were jealous of Moshe Rabbeinu going up, some of the Mefarshim comment about it. There are answers mentioned for it. I don't remember it this minute, but I know that the question is asked. It's one thing's for sure. It's not the same as in humans. In other words, even though we see some reflection by Malachim of some concept, certain examples, the fact that the Gemara talks about when Hashem created the world, there were Malachim that said, create man, there were Malachim that said, don't create man. What does that mean? That there were if Hashem's plan was to create, then the fact that there were Malachim who said, don't create, does that mean they were against Hashem? How could a Malach ever go against Hashem? The answer is it doesn't literally mean that. It's a manifestation of the Ratzon of Hashem presenting itself as two options again, in a sense. That's it. But it's only in man that you find literally this possibility of choosing this or choosing that.
So we'll go up another level, like wine, music voices. Isn't the basic thing just a moment? There's a certain realm here we're not really supposed to try and use.
For sure. For sure. But to the extent that there are certain explanations given, we're allowed to learn those explanations, we're obligated to learn those explanations. There's no question that after all the explanations, the answer is not expected to be perfectly clear to your brain. That's not an option.
Maybe that's the danger, because you think like exposing the answers all the way.
Most definitely. Most definitely. That's when a person wants that, or when a person thinks that's number one. And number two, the there might be certain answers that I don't deserve to get that you do deserve. Each person, there's certain things that for that person can be answered, and for another person can't be answered. Because he hasn't done enough mitzvahs, he hasn't got, or he hasn't learned the basics of Chumash. Try to explain somebody, you know, a Tosfos, if he hasn't learned the Chumash about it. You know, try to explain to him why Tosfos says this and this, if he doesn't know that the Chumash says, step one is that don't steal. And Tosfos is that, you know, it's silly. Here also, and this is pointed out in Svarim, that this is one of the examples of the Yetzer Hara in people. There are certain people who haven't yet done a couple of mitzvahs and haven't yet advanced to a certain level, and they want to understand the purpose of creation to its fullest extent, that's wrong, and it's dangerous. It's wrong and it's dangerous, and a person gets into trouble for it.
Do you believe that we get punished for our acts, that our thoughts we don't get punished for?
No.
What way do we get punished for our
thoughts? I'll tell you. Many thoughts, and as the Gemara says, on a general basis, a goy is punished for his thought, a Jew isn't. Except with the exception of, number one, hirhuri avodah zarah, which means anything that's in the realm of lack of faith in Hashem, anything that's in that ballpark. And number two, when it comes to tikkun habris, the Gemara says, koshe hirhuri avera me'avera, that there the thought in some ways, can be worse than the act, can be more damaging than the act. That's number one. Number two, here Rabbeinu Zal is telling us that even if on a certain level the Shulchan Aruch might make it seem that Beis Din doesn't punish you for what you thought is that, you're making a mistake because you don't realize that that's creating, that Maisa begins with Machshava, no question. Just like when Hashem created the world, it began with Machshava, so too inside your world, any actions that you're going to want to do, you should know that it's going to be based on what you're thinking, what thoughts you're allowing to go through your mind and heart every minute of the day. And to the extent that you're trying throughout the day, even if you feel tired, even if I can't go to shul right, literally, I'm so heavy, there's no way I can get out of bed. But I'm thinking that I want to, or I wish I could. I wish I could. Or a person missed the minion. He was supposed to be there. It's 8 o'clock now. It's over. You can't bring it back. But the person thinks a thought, I wish I could have been part of an earlier minion, that kind of thing. That's creation. And that's 33%. He's setting himself up 33% already for his next mitzvah. Literally.
That's what Nehemiah asked about creation. No, you can't create.
Now you're saying creation. Yes. In other words, as far as man, that's what this chapter in Likutei Moharan is about. Rabbeinu Zal is going to show how the same way Hashem created, Hashem gives the possibility for each and every single Jew to reenact that thing inside of himself. That's the point that we said in the beginning.
Can I say something?
Sure.
Gateway to Happiness, Pliskin, or what Pliskin, he quotes from a lot of Breslov. He's saying to plant the seed in your mind of something that you want to do, that brings it to creation. In other words, a good thought or something like going to the end, if you plant it in your mind, and it really works. So.
That's the story.
As far as when Hashem creates the Yetzirah, the Yetzirah, Yetzirah, as if, like you said, it's a separate creation, going.
The answer is you're asking a deep question. To say that I can explain it, I'm not so sure. But the fact that the way Rabbeinu Zal is presenting it here, he's quoting the Zohar Kodesh, Yetzirah Latav, Yetzirah Labish. Of course, the Oyer Ein Sof, he's saying it came from Ein Sof. So in infinite, there was no good and bad. So on a certain level, there's no such thing as good and bad. On a certain level. No. Rabbeinu Zal brings in another chapter in Likutei Moharan that the moment there was a bria, next door neighbor, Torah Nun Aleph, where Rabbeinu Zal says that when there was only Hashem, then there was no concept of good and bad. The second that there was Hashem and the creation, that's when there already became a possibility of the term Tohor and Tomei. Rabbeinu Zal goes into a whole discussion over there. That the moment there's two, there's a so again, but isn't the creation in its origin actually part of Hashem? That was Nehemiah's problem. Nehemiah's problem is that if bad comes from Hashem, ha ha ha, how can you call it bad? Because it's from Hashem. Good is from Hashem and bad is from Hashem. So you can't tell me that bad is bad, because bad is part of good. Hashem is one.
That's one explanation of it. One explanation of it is that when it comes into my hands, I can. But I'm saying that it doesn't even have to go that far. I'm showing you that before it came to man, that Rabbeinu Zal says on another Talmud Gadol, that the second there was a creation, from that moment on already, it became possible for there to be two. Two, good and bad. That relative to Hashem's Ein Sof, the Bria, even in its purest form, was a step down. It wasn't as good. It wasn't as pure. Yeah, because Hashem made two, in a sense. The Hakdama to this is, again, we're talking Kisvei Ariza, you know, we're talking about deep things. If somebody's not even going to allow us to get to the end of this chapter, and after we get to this chapter, to look a little more into Likutei Halachos, where it's going to be put a little bit more tangible, etc., naturally they're going to understand much less. And if they will try to get to the end of the chapter and try to absorb it and understand it better.